Well, good morning. Welcome to the unofficial Mission Sunday. It's good to be with you today. Thank you, Pastor Nick and team, for leading us in worship. In a moment, Frank Donato is going to come. Now, you can call this a presentation. You can call it a report. You can call it, for some of you who have been in the church all your lives, a testimony. But I want to tell you that it is the evidence of God's hand at work in ways that we will be encouraged to hear. And before Frank comes, let me pray with you. Our Father, Lord God, as we turn our attention to you again this morning, Lord, we pray, O God, and we thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing around the world. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts, O God. And Father, I want to personally thank you for the fire that you have placed in my brother Frank and my sister Alyssa, Lord God. I pray, O Lord, that as Frank comes and shares the evidence of your hand at work in the people of God and those who need it desperately, Lord God, that we too would catch a fire in our stomachs, O God, in our bellies, Lord God, that we would have ears to hear, and in doing so, we would act, O God, that we would have hearts ready to receive from your hand, O God. Instruct us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, breathe on us, O God, the gift of life, Lord, that we might do the same for others. In Jesus' name. Come, Frank.
Morning.
So, I guess I want to start by just formally introducing myself as the NMI president for the church. Sounds really fancy, but basically that means I am the point of contact for missions stuff in the church. So anything missions related, any ideas that you may have, you can just come to me and we'll work towards getting it happening. So I've been drawn to missions work because I just feel it gives us an opportunity to look outside these four walls here and just look at the broken world that we live in and just try to make a difference there. I get the opportunity to kind of act like Jesus did in his time, which is like really cool. If you read the scriptures, Jesus did not win souls for the kingdom by going to synagogue, and just sitting there and that's it. Jesus engaged in the world that he lived in, that was full of people that were that needed him. He ministered to the poor, he ministered to the sick, he ministered to the downtrodden, the sinners, the people that are shunned by the Pharisees. He ate dinner with them and he met their needs, and he let them know of a God that would never leave them or forsake them. So. Why isn't this working? Oh, turn it on. Okay, there we go. Okay, so this is officially a report, not a testimony, or since it says report in the slides. So we're going to call it a report from this point forward. Back in October, I went on a mission trip in Haiti, and I just kind of wanted to share, briefly what went on there. And I'd like to start by just giving an overview of the work down there, see how things got started and, where they are right now and kind of where we're going. So January 2010 there was a major earthquake in Haiti. Actually, yesterday was the 9th anniversary of that earthquake. In January of 2015, Pastor Larry came to our church, and he told us about this earthquake. He had gone down there and witnessed a church that had been destroyed in the earthquake. It was completely gone, with the exception of one wall and maybe a couple other columns. I'll show you a picture in a little bit. And in addition to that, the pastor of the church and his family, their house got destroyed as well, and they were living in a chicken coop, basically you know, about half the size of this platform, maybe even less, just made of discarded, you know, corrugated steel roofs. I was immediately drawn to that for some reason. I had the opportunity to go on missions trips before, but for whatever reason, I just never felt the call. But as soon as Pastor Larry started speaking, I immediately heard, you know, that voice inside, you know. So I decided, you know, to go. And then September 2015 was my first trip down there. Where am I? First trip. Okay, so we began the first step in rebuilding the church was actually fortifying the hill that the church was sitting on. The hill had actually collapsed. It was made of this sandy type dirt, and as soon as the earthquake hit, you'll see it in the next picture. There's a huge chasm directly in front of the church. So the first step was putting a wall there, a nice stone wall to strengthen that. And let me show you. Yes. So there it is right there. This is what I saw in September of 2015. This is what was left of the church. You know, this is actually the back wall, you know, the back wall. And then there's a couple of office rooms over here, no roof. And this is that chasm I was just talking about. You know, this was all flat. You know, if you could imagine this all being filled with dirt, and then, you know, when the earthquake hit, that huge chasm appeared. That's just another view of it. You know, you can see that there's not much of a building left. No roof, you know, and these people still use this church for you know, 4+ years. They've met every Sunday and prayed fervently for, you know, a restoration. So teams would visit basically on average of twice a year, typically now-ish and a midwinter and a fall trip. In each trip would bring the church, you know, kind of closer to completion. We'd work on a different project every time we went down there. So things just gradually started happening. The foundation was laid. A newer, larger foundation was laid. Why? Because who wouldn't want a bigger house of God, first of all? And then second of all, it gave us the opportunity to tie the church structure into that retaining wall to make something that was incredibly strong that would withstand another earthquake like they had in 2010. So then the walls went up, and then the doors and windows were installed, and built a new cistern for indoor plumbing. The previous cistern was probably, you could maybe about fit me inside of it, and that was it. You know, this new cistern was the width of the entire church. You could swim at it if you wanted to. You don't want to, but you could. It was very large. You know, no danger of running out of water in the cistern. And then what else we have here? A platform. You know, raised platform, so the pastor or whoever speaks could, you know, see the entire sanctuary. So there it is. You know, basically waiting for a roof. Laser pointer. There we go. This is actually a flat roof covering new office space / medical clinic. So that's it. There we go. That's the windows that they use. This is their air conditioning. There's no HVAC like we have here in the States. So what they do is they put these bar windows in to allow for breeze to come to blow through the church, because in the Caribbean there's always prevailing trade winds, but the bars help keep, you know, people out that don't need to be there. And there's the door. That's actually the main entrance to the church, right here. And off to the side here is they they actually built a like apartment complex, not a complex, but just a room for missionaries to stay in while they do their work. And there's the platform, you know, just one day they just came in and just kept mixing and dumping cement in that one area. And it's just a solid platform that's not going anywhere. Okay, so now we're up to the last trip that I went on, which was in October 12th through the 19th. What we did, what happened there was those windows and platform that I just showed you, those are actually installed on the last trip. And while that was happening, there was a VBS going on. You know, the kids were there. They would go to school in the morning in the church, and in the afternoons we'd have a little VBS. And they typically do like a craft, you know, like a little thing to hang, or like a bracelet or something like that. And they tie it to some Bible lesson. You know, and the kids loved it. They got a lot out of it, and they loved the little gifts that they got out of the VBS. What else? Oh, baby shower. You know, there was a baby shower in the church. This was the idea of one of the people that attended with us, and she decided to throw a huge party for all of the pregnant women or the young moms in the church, you know, of little tots. And we gave them, we had, you know, cakes and, you know, desserts and stuff like that, punch, gave them little gift bags with all kinds of stuff to help them raise their kids, you know, essentials. It was just a great opportunity to see the village come together for such a happy thing, you know. New life is just such a great thing to rejoice over and to bond with them over. They've just seen so much hardship and so much bad, you know, a lot of bad, but this was great. What else? We had a medical clinic. There were two nurses on our team, and the need for medical care in Haiti is just, it's a great need. We saw 180 people that in the span of a week. Think about how busy your doctor's office is typically, you know, on Long Island here. I would say that this was even worse, you know, at least twice as bad. The nearest hospital, the nearest practicing physician is probably a good 45 minutes to an hour away. So if you get a cut and you get infected, you have a very real chance of having something serious happen. Whereas here we just go into our house and put a little peroxide on it, put a Band-Aid on it, and it's done. There where they are, it's a much more serious thing. Just for even basic first aid is can be a bigger issue. You know, a lot of the cases that they saw were like that. So that was pretty amazing to see. Just amazing thing to see that these people get the care that they really need. You know, they really could use, you know, like a practicing physician up there. So there's a lot of things on the horizon in that little village of Bellevue. Job one is finishing the church building. As you saw, you know, the walls are up, the windows are up, the doors are up. It's waiting for a roof. And I read on Facebook this morning that it might be happening soon, which is really cool. It's going to be a beautiful roof. It's going to be steel trusses with steel roof panels tied to that rebar that you might have seen in that picture. It's just going to be a really strong structure, able to withstand just about anything. The next step is there's going to be a well in the community. Drinking water will be provided through it. Currently, the nearest source of water is a treacherous 20-minute walk down to a natural spring, down the side of like a slippery mountain. Just not an easy thing to do. The ladies of the community, they would carry these. You ever see those Home Depot 5-gallon buckets? They put them on their heads, and they're walking up a mountain with that water in it. I tried doing I tried carrying a 2-gallon bucket because they didn't want me to get hurt on my shoulders, you know, not on my head. And with all the exercise that I do, all the working out that I do, I felt like a weakling. I had to stop several times. I couldn't breathe. And these women are just going up like little Energizer bunnies, like nothing. But, you know, imagine how much easier it would be for the community if they just had a well right in the center. You know, you just walk up to it, fill your bucket, and then take it back to where you need it. Just so that's going to be a nice thing for the community. And next, did I do that? Go too fast? We're going to branch out. You know, we have no intentions of pulling out after the church is done. You know, the church is going to be like a center of hope for the community. There's going to be a lot of things happening. You know, we're going to, the church has now owns the plot of land that's adjacent to it, and they want to build an orphanage. You know, they filled a call to build an orphanage, and there's a lot of planning in the works for help from orphanages that are already there to make sure this gets done right and all the things that we may or may not be thinking about, you know, get addressed. Next is to actually, you know, fix some of the houses in the community or replace houses. You know, a lot of people are still living in their homes the way they were after the earthquake. You know, they would gather some discarded corrugated steel and just kind of prop them together and just have somewhere to stay, you know, and to stay out of the elements. So the plan would be to just go in the community and, you know, pick a house and fix it. So you know, let them know in the process that, you know, God loves them. God has been looking out for them for all this time, you know. This is who, you know, wants to get involved, you know. Think about it. If you do want to get involved or even not, you know, regardless, that's what you need to do right there. I need you to pray for the work that's going on in Haiti right now. God's at work there. You know, he's doing a mighty thing. It's been really cool to be used by him and for his purposes. You know, it's kind of like the wind. The wind blows. You know, if you want, put up a sail and catch the ride. You know, everything that's happened there has been the result of prayer. Since the earthquake, you know, the people of that church have been praying nonstop that they would be restored, that the church building would be restored. And they believed it would happen, you know. So the whole process of rebuilding this church, everything we've experienced, every trip that we've gone on, if you take God out of the picture, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, it defies our own logic. He answers prayer. You know, take that to heart, that he will answer your prayers. You know, pray about where he would have you fit in with this work. Maybe you feel called to go. You know, come to me. I'll let you know some more specifics. I have a lot more stories to tell. If you do listen to, you know, if you do feel that tug, my advice to you would be to listen to God. Don't ignore it. Okay, don't ignore it. Listen, go, obey. Just watch what he does when you obey. Maybe you don't feel called to go. Maybe he's saying no, not now. Or no, I have something else planned. You might be able to help in some other way. There's a lot of other ways you could, you know, support this work. So that's pretty much all I have for my presentation. The hardest part about preparing this was just keeping it, you know, deciding what to say and what not to say here right now. I have so much more to say. I could keep you guys here till at least 12:30 if you want. You know, let me know. I'll be glad to keep talking. You know, but I'm going to have a table downstairs. You know, after service, I'll be down there to answer any questions, to tell you any stories. I'm going to have a slideshow going. You know, in the meantime, you know, if you go down there, just look for the really beautiful lady down there manning the table.
aka my wife. So while you're noshing on goodies, you know, and drinking your coffee in the fellowship hall, just stop by. You know, we'd love to talk to you about it and share more. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your listening. God bless you.